And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Salvation Army, we have Captain Timothy Sheehan. He is the coordinator for the Salvation Army for the state of Delaware, and it's a big job.
It is a huge job. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's about time that you sat down across from me and talked about the Salvation Army, and it's a great thing because I think we all have a different notion of what it is. Somebody thinks tubas. Somebody else might think disaster relief. Someone else might think donuts.
Most people don't think church, which is part of who we are as the Salvation Army. It's pretty obvious in our name, but we're all those things that you named, as well as a part of the Evangelical Christian Church. So our mission is to serve the whole person, both physically as well as spiritually. The founder of the organization, the root mission of his, which is still ours today, is let me take care of your physical needs so that we can eventually have a conversation about your spiritual needs. And we don't force that on anyone. That's just part of who we are. So you're right. Most people know us for disaster or for our white pickup trucks, for our adult rehabilitation center. But not many know us for being a part of the Christian church.
And you were founded back in the 1880s, I think, in
1865
England.
In London, ooh, England, where we still call home, where our international headquarters sits. William and Catherine Booth had a strong heart for those who were living on the streets and just the not good things of society then, and took their ministry to the street and became the Salvation Army, trying to serve the whole person. And William and Catherine Booth really were visionaries. Their goal was to, you know, get people out of bad situations into stable homes as well as stable jobs. Many people probably don't realize that back in the early, the late 1800s, the Salvation Army owned a match factory. There was, at that time, people dying of phossy jaw, which was phosphorus poisoning. And William Booth came across someone who could create and make a stick match that didn't have the phosphorus in it. So the Salvation Army operated a match factory, which took people and gave them a job and gave them an income, which bettered their situation, which just then bettered the whole person. So the Booths were really ahead of their time as it comes to some of our Salvation Army program. But from there, we just continued to grow. Now, you know, 130 different countries officially recognized across the world where the mission of the Salvation Army goes on. It's been stated that we're an army who never sleeps because we operate in every zip code and every time zone.
And and you do this without regard to who the soul is when you meet them.
It doesn't matter. Whatever your situation may be, we're interested in making the situation better for the individual, for the families who come through our doors. It just doesn't matter. A few years ago, I was visiting London and saw at a great little restaurant a sign that said, "Love all, serve all." And I went, that's kind of who the Salvation Army is, summed up in four words. We love all, we serve all. Come through the door with a need, we're going to do our absolute best to help address that need.
What is the footprint here in the state of Delaware? Where are you located?
Well, the beauty of it is that we're all over the state of Delaware. We service all three counties with offices in Wilmington and in Dover. And just a few years ago, we officially opened the work of the Salvation Army in Sussex in Seaford, Delaware. And so there are physical plants of the Salvation Army in all three counties that are there carrying out the mission of meeting the needs of people, not only through our social services aspect of things, but through youth programming and feeding folks, food pantries, those things in all three counties, providing utility assistance. We've got some great partner with Delmarva and a program that we have with them with providing utility assistance. So we're across the state and happy to serve the folks who come along. Another program that we have in the state of Delaware is our disabled program for folks who need that extra care. So our DDP program, as we like to call it, but it's a disabled disability program for adults. We've got some 24-hour care facilities that we have. And out of that, there's a great program that's come out called Creative Hearts. And some of these folks who are in our program do some amazing drawings and cards and those kind of things. So again, servicing the whole person, no matter what their need may be, meeting the need at the point of need.
And I can't remember who I talked to about this. And we were talking about the Salvation Army. They said, a lot of it is it's education, and it's to put somebody back on their feet and make them self-sufficient again, give them their individuality back again, make them independent. And then again, it opens up the soul.
We are all about restoring people. And there's a saying that many folks may have heard over the years, and one that we have been credited with. I'm not sure of the accuracy of that, but it's, you know, there used to be fell off the wagon. And it's my understanding that that came out of in the old days of our adult rehabilitation centers. They would go through New York City with a horse and wagon and just pick those up who were I had too much party, and would take them to our rehab centers. And one of the individuals did want to go, they'd fall off the wagon and not go to the program. But our whole goal, both in our rehab centers as well as in our DDP program, and for those folks who come through the door for the simple needs, is to provide that restoring factor of what their needs may be. And really, it's all about putting folks back with dignity and respect. So we do it case by case, individual by individual. There's no large, everyone is lumped into this group. That's not the case. Everybody comes in with a different story, so we're able to meet the need of that individual with respect. And you're right, it's putting them back on the road of sustainability. But being there as the safety net, should something happen, they know they can come back and get some advice or some direction or just that little bit of help they need to get on to the next momentous thing in their life.
Again, going back to what do we think of, and one of them is temperance and recovery.
Yeah, that's a big one. The Salvation Army has had an adult rehabilitation center program for years. The beauty of here, particularly in Delaware, we have a facility here in Wilmington that is for men and women as it relates to rehabbing from, the big one these days is opioid. Mm-hmm. And so we have folks who are trying to shake that addiction, as well as alcohol and other things that have impacted their lives. And the whole, I must say, that program is free for those who want to come in. And they work through, it's a in-house program. It's a residential program for folks to come in and work through whatever that addiction is. 6-9 months is what it might take for someone to come through that program. But again, it's about providing that for the individual, whatever that may be. And so I can take a little bit over to a new initiative a couple years old called Pathway of Hope with the Salvation Army. And it's an intensive case management program for families who are looking to get out of that constant emergency cycle that they find themselves in and provide the stability. And a lot of that is coming alongside the families and providing guidance and support and material assistance to get them stable. And a lot of what we're seeing with that is folks really struggle with stable, affordable housing. So what's coming alongside, working with them, as well as those in the community who have that good stock of housing that folks can live in that is safe and affordable. And then that begins to unlock the potential for folks as to what they can do once we're able to get that stable. Again, we go from our Adult Rehabilitation Center to our Pathway of Hope program and just to our basic emergency assistance, again, providing stability for folks. We're all just one major event away from having a problem. And the Salvation Army is there to be that catch, to be able to provide the assistance that's needed for folks who find themselves in that particular situation for that moment.
I've never heard it described that way, to be the catch.
That's kind of where we find ourselves from time to time. When you think of our disaster services program, that's what we're doing. We're catching folks. And one thing that I've known over all these years, that disaster doesn't care where you live or how much you make. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We're able to come in and catch those and provide the basic services that they need until they're able to get back to normal, whatever normal may look like. So safety net, CatchNet, whatever you want to say. We are just pleased that we've got folks who support us financially that enables us to do these things and be able to assist people as we go.
I was going somewhere else, but when you said that about you introduced disaster relief again, and again, that is one of those areas that we think of with the Salvation Army, whether it is the shore after Sandy and you were in Puerto Rico, it's wherever it happens because you've got those boots on the ground all across the world.
That's exactly right. We are part of community. And it goes as recent as just a few months ago with the tornadoes that passed through Sussex. Our folks in Seaford were on the ground with one of our mobile disaster units, feeding people, addressing the immediate needs, and then following up with families after that to make sure that there weren't any unmet needs, that their needs had been met. But across the world, the Salvation Army is part of the community. We've been described as first in, last out, but we live there. So, of course, we would rally around and be able to provide for the community. Something as basic as a meal or something as complicated as long-term recovery for families. We are one of those organizations, one of those non-governmental organizations that is looked to by our government as well as by people in our community just to come alongside and provide, again, that support, not only materially, but just to have that shoulder to lean on and to be cry on, if you will, or celebrate with when we are able to get through those disaster times and then restore community.
How are we faring here in Delaware? I think I started to mention that and ask about that, but what is the state of Delaware?
As far as our assistance, it's not getting any less. What we are seeing, even though we do have a strong economy, is that there are other areas where folks are needing more assistance. We see ourselves, I'll start in Seaford. Let's go downstate and work our way north. You know, we're finding a senior citizen population that we are now providing a noontime meal 4 days a week. Because they've got to make some tough choices. And sometimes with our older population is, well, I can skip a meal and be able then to provide for my prescriptions or whatever it may be. So we come alongside that need was identified by community, and we said, hey, we can do that. We are seeing, again, a greater need for folks just to have the basic staples of food in order to get through and provide for their families for the day, for the week, whatever it may be. It's the same thing as we move north into Kent, into Dover. We're feeding there a noontime meal 4 days a week. And again, it's folks, not only those who we just look at and say, oh, well, they're just homeless. It's more than that. It's folks that suddenly have to make a decision to be able to provide either utility or home for their family, or maybe even some prescription because some catastrophic thing has happened. Here's a meal they can count on 4 times a week. And then we come north into Newcastle with our food pantry, and then also other programs that we have through our social services, folks who are able to come alongside again and provide assistance to those folks. So across the state, we're doing pretty good. A new initiative that we're working on in the Salvation Army DNA has been this anti-human trafficking. William Booth talked about it in the 1870s in a speech that he made that has been entitled, "I'll Fight." And in that little speech that he made, there is a line that said, "While there's one poor lost girl on the streets, I'll fight." William Booth was very instrumental in that time in addressing the authorities about the age of young ladies who were being swept into prostitution, and was able to be an advocate to say this has to change. And so this anti-human trafficking, which is suddenly becoming very high tech and internationally, the Salvation Army, because it's part of our DNA, have a number of programs that operate across the country. I'm not sure if we want to say this proudly or if it's something that we just kind of say it's what we do, but we are officially the number 27th location in the United States that is officially recognized by the Salvation Army with our program, which we have affectionately called Restoration Now. We want to restore lives. So we're working with a large coalition of organizations here in Delaware to address this need. And Delaware itself, you know, as I understand here lately, is just something that they've just begun to address in the recent years as we've all begun to learn more and more about how this evil, if you will, works in our societies. And they're addressing new laws and new legislation and new task force to look at these things. And how is it that we can all partner together to provide the restoration that is needed for these folks who catch themselves not only in the sex trafficking, but also in labor trafficking? So while it is the world's oldest profession, if you will, folks have gotten very high tech with it and just the way the whole thing operates. So in the Salvation Army here in Delaware, we are taking the lead as a lead organization to be able to come alongside and support our friends at both the federal level and the state level and the local level as well, to be able to address the problem with them and come alongside to meet the needs of those who are survivors of that program while the others go through whatever the proper law enforcement is. So in the state of Delaware, we're an organization who has the ability to change as community needs change, and we are a community driven organization. So we are able to listen to community and say, this is what we need to do. Then we're able to go out and get those who are the experts and the resources to be able to provide that need.
If you are just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the coordinator of the Salvation Army for the state of Delaware, Captain Timothy Sheehan. If you'd like more information about what we're talking about today, go to SalvationArmyDelaware.org. That easy, SalvationArmyDelaware.org. You'll learn about all the programming that they offer and, of course, more information about the restoration program. And when you mentioned the labor trafficking, too, so many of us do think, well, it's prostitution, but it's also someone who doesn't speak the language, who is maybe brought over by their own family, possibly,
right,
and enforced labor. They're basically slaves with no contacts here. They don't speak the language. They're trapped.
It's that, as well as in some cases just family need who just puts their children out there. So while it is a lot of those who come from other countries, there's also, you know, that segment here where it's suddenly family, or sadly it may be family who has an opioid issue, and so the other members of the family are put into that situation where they have to work. So it is wide, it is deep, and to be honest with you, I think we as a society are just beginning to address it and just take off the surface layer, and now beginning to dig deep so that we can make a change in the way things happen. But you're right, it is sort of a form of slavery, and folks become very dependent upon the one who holds the keys. We want to be with our partners, both at the federal and state and local level, part of the solution as to how we get the keys away and set the person free.
So it's preventing the situation that gets someone into this mess to begin with, and then rescuing or restoring them to a new life, but also then getting them through the trauma of what has happened and getting them to a life that's livable and, what am I looking for, independence again?
Independence. Our program is designed to work with the other organizations in the state to provide total wraparound services, because these folks have been so dependent upon someone else to provide. So it's providing the simple things like how to get an identification, and then your self-value, your self-worth, and then employment. And so it's a total wraparound service to provide, again, that lift that they need, because so long they have been held captive to. And then, so yeah, housing, clothes, foods, all those things that we sort of take for granted that are provided to some degree for folks who find themselves in a situation, suddenly to be survivor out of that and now have to set all that up themselves. So the program is designed to provide total wraparound services for those individuals, as many of our programs are.
You do take that holistic approach. And part of that is, let's change the subject.
Sure, let's lighten
about,
it up, right?
Let's lighten it up. Let's talk about, I said tubas, music, arts, sports. You offer so many enrichment programs to kids who might otherwise not ever see that or experience that joy in their life.
So I'm one of those kids, born and raised in inner city Philadelphia, who started attending the Salvation Army at a very young age and learned how to play a trumpet. And then suddenly, I'm going back a number of years, music programs in the schools were something that was there, arts programs. And as we all know, as budgets get tighter, certain things get cut out, and that's one of those. But it's remained constant in the Salvation Army. Music in the Salvation Army goes back to our founding days. It was a way to get people to pay attention when you put a brass band out on the street making all kind of noise. And so the folks would pay attention to what William and Catherine Booth were saying. I am a tuba player, so it's very interesting you picked on that particular instrument. I enjoy it. The beauty of it is, and it's been proven over and over again, that folks, young people who are taught music are usually better in school. They're better students. And I've had one person say it's because you're using both sides of your brain at the same time. You got to be able to count while be creative in the noise that you're making through that instrument or through your voice. So the Salvation Army, again, across the state, we have some music programs that take place at all three locations. Here in the Newcastle area, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25 or 30 kids once a week come in and receive instruction in voice and how to read music and brass instruments, in dance and in drama. So all of the arts that you can think of, there are kids that are involved in that program. Again, we run down to the bottom of the state, into Seaford. As I understand, we call it downstate. And there, again, once a week, there's somewhere near about 30, 35 children who are involved in Salvation Army program who are learning those things. Again, brass music in the Salvation Army is kind of who we are. Brass music accompaniment in our church services has been going on for years. And, there are some churches that are just picking up on that, but we've had it for years. And it's just a great time. And we're building now to put the same program in place beginning in September in the Dover area. So across the state, we will have an opportunity for children to come in and to learn music and arts so that they can obviously will be a better student, but also to have something that they can enjoy. For me, it's an enjoyment. It's just a good time to sit back there and go oompa, on that tuba. But it's also camaraderie that comes along with that and the friends that you make over that time period where you're together learning.
And you also, of course, have camps, their after-school programs. You want to do a quick, give us a minute or two, and run through the calendar year for the Salvation Army.
Oh, it's a nonstop calendar. So in our Wilmington area, we have a five-star child care center that also has an after-school program. And then we run a summer day camp program in there. We have a very active senior center program that takes place during the summer. The Salvation Army Camp Lador, which is located in Waymart, Pennsylvania, in the Pocono Mountains, will house in the neighborhood of 350 to 400 kids every week. And we've got about 100 of those children that will come out of Delaware this camping season and will spend a week at Camp Lador. And then before we know it, we're into fall. And in our fall activities, there is just all kind of programs, music and arts. There is our community center program that takes place. Then we get into, our annual dinner, where it's sort of our report to the state as to what we do on October 21st. And that sort of highlights all that we do. We recognize key volunteers and key people in the community for their service. And then before you know it, you'll hear that iconic bell on the corner that recognizes it is now Christmas time, and our annual appeal that at Christmas through our Red Kettle effort will be on the streets looking for the support that we need to be able to run all these programs. Oh, in the middle of all running through all this is our emergency shelter that is here. It's a 52-bed facility that's there to have families who find themselves suddenly homeless be able to come in, get in again intensive case management and be able to get back into their own place of residence. But for that temporary period, you know, we do have the shelter there. Where are we at? I think we're on the other side of January at this point, and mm-hmm. all these programs continue on, providing that needed care. A few years ago, there was someone in the media in a different community. He said, the Salvation Army has programs from womb to tomb. And I said, well, I wouldn't quite say it that way, but the reality is that we do. We do have programs that cover the age spectrum. And again, as the community needs are identified, we're able to adjust to meet community needs.
And of course, you can't do that in a vacuum. It does take money, like at your annual dinner, October 21st, and you're looking for sponsors, et cetera, and you're going to sell tickets to that, I'm sure. How does one get involved? Are you looking for volunteers? And obviously, you need man hours, you need dollar bills, and you need the support.
I came up with this phrase a couple years ago that said we're always looking for folks who have time, talent, and influence. And we're looking at that talent sort of as a scriptural reference to those who will be able to give monetary gifts. So again, if they go to our website, SalvationArmyDelaware.org, they'll find opportunities, but there's always volunteer opportunities available. It may be something as simple as packing bags in our food pantry, painting a wall, painting a room inside of our child care center, or coming alongside providing tutoring to kids in our after school program. Once we go through all of the background checks and all those things that are required, because we want to keep all of our kids safe, there are plenty of opportunities. There's also the Salvation Army Advisory Board, which is the local community group who advises us on staying current and the pulse of the community. And so there are always opportunities at the Salvation Army for folks to come along and serve. And for those folks who simply want to write a check, we're happy to take that. I sit here somewhat proudly and say we are one of the few organizations who say our overhead cost is somewhere between 10 and 12 cents. So on average, 87 cents or 88 cents of every dollar goes right back into program. It's not tied up in major overheads. We're about people and serving people. And so that's who we are. That's who William Booth set us out to be 154 years ago. And that's the track we still go down today.
And of course, we all have come to rely on you being there at a time of need, whether it is the state, the federal, mom, dad, your neighbors, Jim and Joe. We depend on the Salvation Army throughout the year just to be there. And that does take a lot of money. I'm not going to ask you your budget, but it's got to be horrendous and every penny counts.
It's a significant budget. And what we are thankful for is that we don't do this alone, but with the support of those who support us financially, as well as give of their volunteer time, we're able in a partnership effort to address the needs of community, whatever that may be. So yeah, it's a huge financial undertaking. We're thankful for those who do give. And hey, if there's somebody new who's saying, you know what, I'm looking for a good organization with low overhead, well, we're it. You know, the Salvation Army is what fits your bill.
And I alluded to donuts at the very, very beginning of the show. And you just had a donut day. Real quick, in our waning moment, explain the donuts.
World War One, a couple Salvation Army lassies showed up in a foxhole, started making donuts for the men who were fighting in foxholes, and they had a smell and a taste of home. Who knew that this many years later, we'd be celebrating with some major donut chains around the country, and that donuts officially are recognized as something the Salvation Army started back in those foxholes and continue today. So two Salvation Army lassies, a pot of oil, and a helmet, and we've got donuts. And so today we all are a few pounds heavier because of donuts, but we are thankful for the recognition. But more importantly, it was just our way to be able to support the men in the armed forces. And even this day, we still, to the men and women in our armed forces, come alongside to support them. So that's how Donut Day got its start.
Well, and congratulations on yet another achievement by the Salvation
Absolutely.
Army. Brass bands and donuts.
There you go.
So, if you would like more information about anything that we talked about, a way to volunteer, a way that you can donate, a way that you can participate through the dinner that is coming up on October 21st, the way to go is get to the website SalvationArmyDelaware.org. SalvationArmyDelaware.org talks about the music classes, the after-school programs, the programs for seniors, you name it, it's all there, SalvationArmyDelaware.org. And our guest today is the coordinator for the Salvation Army for the state of Delaware, Captain Timothy Sheehan. Captain, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. This is great.
You're always welcome back. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.